Before we get started with this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me let you know that it's brought to you by Draft.com. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why you need to try Draft. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real live NBA, NFL, or for this podcast purpose, PGA Draft right now. Be done drafting in under 5 minutes and get paid out the day the tournament is done. The PGA version is great. You draft, you enjoy the 4 days, and you collect your money Sunday night. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join them whenever you want. All new players, this is the catch, all new players, when they make their first deposit, get entry into a real money draft by using the promo code SDSports. You got to use the promo code SDSports to get that free entry. That's right. Playing a real money draft for free by using the promo code SDSports. But it gets even better. For some crazy reason you do not like Draft, they are offering a $100 money-back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to Draft.com and come play for free right now. But you have to use the promo code SDSports. Void or prohibited, must be 18 or older. See website for details. Offer must be redeemed within 14 days. Now, welcome to this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, your Waste Management Open preview. Check us out on Twitter at alwayspressDFS. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher. Check them out, rate, review, the whole cha-cha. Before we get started, the two co-hosts, as always, you can check them out on Twitter at BPSnow11. Bucks, how are we doing?
Doing great, Bubba. Good to be back. Good. Another week.
And out of Kentucky, you can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing?
Feel good, man. Kentucky beat West Virginia. Yeah. After you called them a Sweet 16 NIT team on Twitter. I saw that, Bubba.
Oh, you saw that? Oh, oops. Well, you should have saw the group DM I'm in with Wes. Wes does the UFC pods with me. So all the UFC guys are in a thing together, and Doc's in there, who's a West Virginia guy. Oh, it was fun.
Bad. Oof. We did an NIT team, though, to be fair, in that first half.
Yeah. But we're here to talk golf. So let's do a little recap, as always, before we get rocking and rolling into one of the more fun, entertaining events on tour, the Waste Management Open. We'll recap the Farmers, which ended today. And I know I wasn't the only one that probably predicted this, but I tweeted it the second it happened. I said, you know, it's going to end on the first playoff hole. And sure enough, Noren goes for it, finds a drink. It was over. But Jason Day, back to the winner's circle. He basically just, you know, made us look stupid for not wanting to take him with his back injury pulling out of the Pro-Am. I'll start with you, Bucks. What were your thoughts on Jason Day? Because he looked darn good.
Yeah, he looked awesome, man. I had Day about 50%, so I more than broke even, which was cool. But, yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he started hitting his driver really well. But really the thing that impressed me was how on point his wedge game was. It seemed like every single shot he was hitting in 18, because he played it six times in the last 24 hours. He was stuffing them tight, so hit his wedges really, really well, and he made a ton of putts. He made everything, so it was fun. It was fun to watch. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I was on Day pretty heavily. Tried to figure out what was going on with the bag deal after the Pro-Am pull out there, and should have just trusted the gut, but I ended up pulling him off my 333 team, which really didn't have a chance anyway. He went 4-6, so it didn't even matter in the end. But I did back off of him, and I did bet him to win because I picked him to win on the pod last week.
So. Boom.
Yes, you did. Something to keep in mind, we mentioned it last week, Jason Day, Noren, and Palmer, all three of them that made the playoffs, mentioned last week, the last, I think, since now 2012 or 11, the winner has started Thursday on the south, Friday on the north, and it continued. All three of those guys are south-north guys. So maybe something to keep in mind come next year that, you know, some trends are just, you know, whatever, but this one might be something building here.
Yeah.
Because Day shot 73 on Thursday, And then he played great the rest of the way. So we'll have to definitely keep an eye on that come next year.
Sure.
To El Tigre, he sneaks into the cut with a birdie on 18 on Friday and then plays really, really well. Top stats in a lot of stat categories for the field. Bucks, what are your thoughts on Tiger in the future?
He's going to win again. I mean, he had I think I saw he hit 17 fairways this whole week and still came in the top 25. So, dude's hitting it atrocious off the tee on a course where you can't do that.
Yeah. And
still comes top 25.
Yeah.
So, I only played him in one lineup last week. And we talked about it a little bit, but one, I expected him to drive the ball terribly. But two, I expected his short game to be just mediocre at best. But his short game was money. And so his irons were phenomenal. Wedges were good. Short game was really, really good. If he can get that driver in play, he is going to win again.
Yeah. Leonardo Bada, what about you, Jesse?
Yeah, back all that sentiment. Obviously, I saw every single shot that he hit the whole entire – all however 270-some shots or whatever, however many he hit, because Golf Channel showed them all multiple times. So if he straightens out the driver or even just starts maybe backing off a little bit, he's going to put himself in contention for too long, because he did have his short game on point. Now, one thing to consider there with that is he does know those greens at Torrey. Since he's been there like 1,000 times. So that might have had something to do with it. But I was impressed with his showing. You know, he somehow managed to squeak out a top 25 there. So
yeah, I was really, really impressed. He had the T23 when he looked like he was off or lost there for a while. And he does look good. He should win or definitely final group in Sunday a couple times this year. He's got that Tiger look in him, and he's getting better and better. So there's a lot to look forward to when it comes to Tiger this year, as we were hoping, and it might actually be true now. Let's go to Mr. J.B. Holmes, Mr. Controversy right now, as some are blaming him for the playoffs, some aren't. There's a lot of different angles to look at this, but he took his sweet time on 18. He played slow most of the round. The final group was like an hour behind the group in front of them. So it was very, very slow at times. But J.B. Holmes dragging on for almost 5 minutes, approaching 18, and then has one of the worst layups in history. Still almost finds the water in the rough. We'll start with you, Bucks. What are your thoughts on this? Because there's been a ton of different opinions on this.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot. I read a lot of the controversies, a lot of the thoughts about it. I don't know if... I mean, from my perspective, Jason Day's already in the clubhouse, right? He has to make equal. It's not like it was just him and Norin, and he's trying to ice him, potentially have him make bogey, him make birdie, that kind of thing, because Jason Day's already in. So I don't think he was intentionally icing Norin. I would have figured that – I figured they were talking about whether the better shot for Eagle was the layup, hitting a shot from 80 yards or something like that, or going for it. My personal opinion is it's easier to make Eagle there laying up than it is to go for it. Greens were super firm. I think only one shot into 18, one second shot into 18 was inside like 20 feet all day or something like that. And that was like Keegan Bradley or something. But I mean, either way, though, one, it took way too long. Somebody, some rules official should have said something a long time ago. And two, you're right, Bubba, that was the worst layup I've ever seen in my entire life.
And if he's gonna take that long, go 10 cup and find the water.
The dude is an aggressive player. Like, he probably got over that and was still like halfway through a swing going, "What the fuck am I doing?" Yeah. I mean, yeah. He should have just gone after, played his game, and then hoped to make something around the green. But you're right. It was a terrible layup. I don't think he was intentionally trying to ice Norm, though. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, so I'm going to take you guys all the way back to number three, the third hole on the day, where CT Pan made an eight. Well, if you guys remember this, he hit it over in the in the gully twice, was on his sixth shot, was still out. So him making an eight there backed up that tee box to where there was three groups standing on that tee. And Jason Day's group, who Jason Day, mind you, is not a very fast player.
Not at all.
You watch Jason Day, you can, literally pull your hair out, just hit the fucking ball, man. Because he's, visualizing every shot, one way or the other. So his group somehow manages to be a hole and a half ahead by the time the final group gets to 16. And so people want to say, oh, it was that one shot. Holmes was slow all day long. It did not matter. That last shot, I agree 100%. What are you doing laying up? Just bomb it out there. Just try to win something. I think he was still at that point one shot ahead of the fourth or fifth place Keegan Bradley. So, I don't know. For me, the rule should have been enforced probably back on 15 or 14. They should have put him on the clock then, and then you would never would have had that issue because it was way too freaking slow, way too slow all day long.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine, slow play. I don't care if you're good or you're bad, just play. I don't want to sit there and I don't got all day. It took them 6 hours to play around the golf. That's you can go to Muni's on a Sunday and get quicker than that. It'll be interesting to see how that goes going forward and how JB plays. He's already kind of a mental midget as it is at times, so this will be fun. Any other takeaways from you, gentlemen, on this weekend? Because Sunday was just a bloodbath of who could hang on, basically. Other than that, there was some good golf, some good names creeping around here and there, but overall, just a mess of a weekend when you look at the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that wind played a factor on Sunday. I mean, that was a big deal Sunday. The wind's coming off the hills instead of off the ocean. I think jacked with a lot of people's heads on that. But I'm glad to see Ryan Palmer back playing good golf again.
Yeah. Quick Euro Tour. We got the Dubai Classic over the weekend, and Lee Hao Tong won with a minus 23 tournament record. Looked really, really good, but more importantly to me, no offense to Lee, and maybe it's an omen because the last two winners there, Sergio and Danny Willett, both won the Masters that year. But I'm not sure we're going to see Lee win it, but you never know. But Rory, that's back-to-back tournaments where he has looked outstanding. Any quick Euro thoughts, gentlemen?
I didn't watch a single hole of it, so I don't know.
I watched
the
a lot
only,
of it.
The only shot I watched was that dude chunking or topping his million-dollar putt. That was the only shot I watched.
Yeah, that was awful. If you go to my Twitter, I retweeted it from Euro European golf. But that golf course, A, was ridiculous. If you ever, that would be like a bucket list golf course for me because that thing was just ridiculous looking. Super excited about Rory coming back, being back, playing good golf. I think it makes the game so much better when he plays good golf. So, yeah. Well, that's an interesting angle on Lee. I saw that yesterday after he won, too. It'd be an interesting play come Augusta time.
Yeah, be curious to see it because, besides him winning that, no one really knows who the guy is. But he knows perfect English. When you watch the final round with Rory, he's having conversations. You wouldn't even know it. He looks really, really good. Made putt after putt after putt. His back nine was amazing on Sunday. And, Fleetwood started out slow on Thursday. He still finished top six. You got Pat Perez played really well over there. There's a lot of good golf yet again over on the Euro Tour. So we'll see how things pan out to come, Masters and then Ryder Cup, all that good stuff. Before we get to the Waste Management Open, a little bit of fan share ownership recap. We talk about them a lot. Now we got some actual data to go over. Jesse, would you give us a couple key highlights here from FanShare?
Yeah, so really cool website. They keep adding stuff, and I keep trying to stay up with what they're doing. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing over there. So of the top 10 most tagged golfers, only two of them missed the cut, one of them being Johnny Vegas. If you're on Twitter on Friday afternoon, that was a lot of fun. And then obviously Ricky Fowler, too, for his fourth straight missed cut. So we can't blame it anymore on the traveling from the Middle East to back to California. It's just some issue he's having there. But that Vegas collapse was absolutely epic because he was, I think, one of the highest owned, and he shot like 45 on the backside there to miss the cut, including a bogey on his last hole. That was really fun. And then as far as like DK, like the top three DK points makers, some interesting things on those guys. Obviously, Ryan Palmer, he was number one at 119.5 points at only 3.1% ownership. Pretty sure I mentioned him kind of in passing on the pod last week, but he has been rising up in my stat rankings every week. And, you know, one of his issues has always been putting, and he seemed to kind of get it back last week. Jason Day, we already kind of touched on him. I don't know how much that WD actually – or the WD from the Pro-Am actually mattered because I saw on Thursday after everything locked, people tweeting asking if, you know, if certain people had heard about this WD from the Pro-Am. So I'm not sure if it actually got around that much, but 12.5% on Jason Day. He had been playing very good golf. I really liked him. WD messed me up, obviously. And then Alexander Noren, 3.1%, 113 points. At $7,800, he's the 19th ranked golfer in the world. So, I mean, really, really good price on a guy of his pedigree. And then just some other things that I've noticed. I don't know if you guys have noticed this too, but typically the defending champion gets less ownership. Typically last week's winner gets less ownership. And the highest price usually gets less ownership. And Rahm had all of those last week. So he was the highest priced. He was defending champion, and he was also the winner from the previous week. So he only got about 19% ownership, which I think is really, really good for somebody of his ability in that field. Obviously, he sucked on the weekend. So, I mean, that is what it is with him on that. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting coming up with Hideki because he's back-to-back champion at this deal. So we'll talk about him some more here soon, but be very interesting to keep watching on those trends because you can identify some guys who will potentially be less owned. Now they also ran a poll on Twitter and it said, if you faded Rahm, what was your main reason? And the number one reason was price at 36%. And unlikely to go back to back was the next one, which was at 31%. So a lot of people are looking at price and fading guys up top because, you know, they don't feel like they'll pay off. You guys know anything else or any thoughts on that?
Well, I was going to say that's interesting because we talk about it all the time, the back-to-back, you know, previous week's winner we try to avoid. So that's an interesting that it's actually following that path. Why don't you mention real quick, and then Bucks, you can go ahead with this. But, Jesse, you were texting me, I think it was Friday, when Vegas missed the cut. Can you tell you mentioned you used the fan share. What were you using? Oh, you were trying to text me about it, and I totally forgot what it was.
Yeah, so I should have mentioned that. I should have put a note in there that, in my notes about what I was going to say on that. So I was looking through Logan at Logan Harper does their fan share, does the projected ownership, which I don't buy a whole lot into other than with these guys because they have some actual data to back it up with. But one way or the other, so I was looking just – Thursday morning, looking around the same price range as Vegas, knew he was going to be popular. Ended up landing on Lahiri because they had him basically projected at less ownership. So I plug him in one lineup, Lahiri, substitute him in for Vegas. That lineup ends up being top 100 after Friday. So it was sitting in pretty good position. All the guys were awful on the weekend, so I finished like 10,000th. but it was fun to actually think that I had a shot, and it was because I used those projections and made that pivot. So I highly recommend it. I mean, I think they've got a really good product over there.
Anything for you, Bucks?
No, I thought, I mean, as far as ownership goes, I didn't have any Johnny Vegas just because I figured he'd be pretty high, but I got burned with Ricky. I got burned with Ricky, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we might have to go back to the
– especially my one and done. That was fun.
Yeah, my one and done was Harmon, so I don't want to talk about one and done this week. all right, so that wraps up our recap of the Farmers, which is a lot of fun. Torrey, always a good time at Torrey. But now we head to the Waste Management, the famous 16th hole, the party hole, all the good stuff to get there. Before we get into the party hole and more of the course from Bucks, let's get the past event history from Jesse.
Yeah, so it's been played at this golf course for a while, and we'll have to talk about the actual golf course here in just a minute. Out in Phoenix, one way or the other, Hideki Matsuyama is your defending champion, so he won in 2017 and 2016. Last year, he beat Webb Simpson in a playoff. Year before that, he beat Ricky in a playoff. 2015 winner was the maiden victory for one Brooks Koepka, who's out with an injury now. Sucks. He beat Hideki by one shot that year, as well as Ryan Palmer and Bubba Watson. 2014, Kevin Stadler was your winner. Whatever happened to that guy, I have no idea. But he won by one shot over Graham DeLay and Bubba Watson. So Phil's also won here. JB has won here twice in the past. So there's your course history, or your tournament history.
Bucks, what do you got for the course preview?
Yeah, so the course, like Jesse said, it's been played here forever. 7,200 yards, par 71. One thing of note, last week we had the North Course, which had a redesign by Tom Weisskopf in 2014, I think, that Torrey Pines North did. And TPC Scottsdale Stadium course was redesigned in 2015 by Tom Weisskopf. And it's almost verbatim the exact same reason. He said that he wanted to make it more playable for the general public. But he added to this course, he also wanted it to be more difficult for the tour player because they were lighting this place up. So since the redesign, where he reshaped some greens, he added some bunkering, the scoring is pretty much the same. Before his redesign, they were averaging like 16 under par. After, it's about the same. The average cut line's around even here, but as far as the course goes, you have one par four under 400 yards, number 17. We all know it. They have three par fives, all reachable. Those par fives account for 36% of the under par scoring. So huge bump to par five scoring. And then the par four, number 17, is the second most birdies on any hole and the third most eagles. So you're talking about a hole that's 330 yards. And then a few reachable par fives that really are the core focus. As far as difficulty goes, really there's one stretch on the back nine, 11, 12, and 14, that you really have to get through. Other than that, the course is pretty gettable. I mean, they have the fairways are pretty generous. The rough is not too thick. But if you spray it all over the place, you're going to be in trouble because they have a ton of water on the back nine, almost zero on the front, but there's a lot of desert, waste area. And so if you get into that kind of stuff, that is what you're going to come across, what kind of lie you're going to get. But 30 fairway bunkers placed strategically out there around 280 to 310. So some of the longer players can kind of avoid a lot of that. But they're still out there. So over the last few years, a couple things to note on the golf course. Players average hitting 11 greens around. So hitting greens is a premium here. Plus, the last couple of years after the redesign, the greens were pretty firm. I expect them to be a little softer this year, but who knows? It is a TIF Bermuda grass greens. So if you're a guy that believes that putting on Bermuda versus bent, that there's a huge stat correlation, that's something to keep in mind. But overall, I mean, it's a gettable golf course. I think that the guys that you've seen, Hideki has five straight top fives here. A lot of the big hitters seem to play really well here, and they can get at it. So, yeah, I think that the course is setting up well. The weather is phenomenal not a single issue all week. Winds are light, 80 degrees, so that is a non-issue.
One of the things, but before we move on with the weather, just to kind of put this out there, but Josh Culp, I read all this stuff every week because I think he's really good. But anyways, he made a note about that typically the round one leader, 12 of them started, let's see, since 2003, there have been 22 golfers that have led co-led after round one, with 12 of them starting before 10 a.m., the other 10 starting after noon. So a lot of times what happens here is actually better scoring in the afternoon. Just keep that in mind because it gets warmer. It's in the desert. I don't know. I don't live in the desert, so I don't know how really it's better.
It definitely gets warmer. One thing also, I know, Bucks, you were talking to Josh ADHD earlier. I saw his tweets he was putting out. He always puts out really cool graphs and stuff like that. But essentially, he did a made putt distance on every hole. If you're most putts, it seems like, are made about 4 feet in, some 6 or 8. But after you get to, like, double digits, not a lot of putts are getting made. So kind of goes what you're saying about you got it, you know, the greens and regulations and so on. And so he had a greens and regulation chart, too, to get into 60. You need a high percentage of greens and regulations to even shoot in the 60s here.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I see why. So the average first putt, if you do hit a green here, is 39 feet.
So like two putting. Okay.
I mean, on average, you don't really have a really makeable putt. So a lot of four-footers, three-footers being made.
That makes a lot of sense then. All right, let's go over some key stats as we'll be targeting. As Buck says, the weather will be beautiful this weekend. Jesse, what key stats are you targeting?
So greens and regulation is my number one key stat this week. I think Hideki has led it the last 2 years, and he's obviously done very well here. Also looking at driving distance, birdie or better percentage. A lot of course history. I mean, there's obviously a lot of course history here, so I do weight course history quite a bit.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I'll focus on the weekly stuff, birdie or better, DK points, recent form, that kind of thing. But Jesse's right. So greens and regulation, Asayama led this category the last 2 years. And strokes gained tee to green, he led this category in 2016 and was second last year. So those two stats are pretty good correlation to playing the golf course, because you do need an all-around game. You saw from when I was talking that a lot of players miss a lot of these greens. So the guys that are playing well, that's great, but you also have to have a guy that's going to be scrambling. So outside of the tee to green and greens in regulation, strokes gained approach, proximity, and scrambling. Those are the stats that I'm playing this week.
Yeah, I like those a lot. I'm looking at the strokes gained approach, greens and reg, birdie or better, pretty much same things here on Buck, and scrambling. But then I'll go to my I love my recent form and course history here a lot, because there's a lot of guys you think that could, you know, sling it around this course, and they still do not score well at all. So it's really interesting looking at some past players here. There are some that do very, very well.
You should look at par 5 history, too, or par 5 scoring as well.
Yeah, that's a good call. Very good call there. With that being said, let's get into our DraftKings. Some pricing's interesting this week. We got some that are priced, seems pretty well, some higher than normal, but then a ton of value in the sixes and sevens that we could play with. But let's kick it off in the 10K and above range. We got five guys. We have the defending champion, Matsuyama at 11.5, Spieth 11.4, Rahm 11,000, Fowler 10.4, JT at 10.3. Bucks, kick us off in the 10K and above.
Yeah, this is a really, really good, like, range here, because every single one of these, like, normally at a tournament, like, you can focus on a couple guys, and there's a couple guys you really don't like, and they typically don't play well. But every single guy here is good and legitimately has a chance to win. Obviously, I am going to play Matsuyama. Five straight top fives here. The dude eats this course alive. He started playing really well in the back nine on Sunday. Started playing well on the weekend. So I will be playing some Matsuyama. Spieth as well. Dude's good. Played well here last year. John Rahm, for obvious reasons, the guy loves this course, loves this city, and he's been on fire. And I think getting him back on a course where he can just more freely bomb it, I think, yeah, I expect him to eat it as well. Ricky Fowler burned me hard last week in the OAD and in DraftKings. So if I had to fade one of these guys, it'd probably be him. But the dude loves this course as well. So he shows up pretty well in the rankings. But if I had to pick one guy here, I'm going to go Matsuyama. If I had to pick a second guy, I'm going Rahm.
No, I like that a lot. Jesse, what do you like here?
Couple of things. You know, we already talked about the defending champions ownership, and then also the highest salary guys ownership, and that's Hideki. So he fits two of those. So his ownership based on trends should be depressed. So I think he makes a really, really good GPP play.
Yeah, for sure.
When I say depressed, I'm talking like, you know, 20-ish%, which is, I think, a good price for somebody who could win like he can. Jordan Spieth is number one on model, so I'll be playing him. Rahm and Ricky both. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where Rahm and Ricky fall on the ownership, because Rahm obviously sucked on the weekend, and Ricky didn't play the weekend. And Ricky was one of the highest owned last week. He was last week he came in at right around 20%. So he was up there in ownership, so he burnt quite a few people. I was all over him. Burnt me. So I agree with going back to him. I don't want any Justin Thomas. Missed a cut straight. Two straight years here. I don't know. That'll probably end up coming back to haunt me. But of the five up top, I mean, I think you can make a case for four out of five. So the top four, and I'm just throwing out JT. I'm not dealing with his shenanigans this week. What you got?
Yeah, they're all looking pretty good this week. You can't really fault many of them at all. I'm always against Matsuyama, but you can't deny what he's done at 11-5. He's high priced, could be popular, but definitely worth a look. I like Spieth a lot at 11-4. First in greens regulation in this group, fourth par 5. Birdie or better, he basically rates high in almost everything you want to look at. T9 and T7 is two appearances here, so he can play it well. And the third guy I'll be looking at, I'll go back to the Ricky Fowler well, like you guys mentioned. He plays really, really well here. Missed the cut last week, but prior to that, T4. A first and a second. So he's playing good golf. People might be turned off by the way he played last weekend. And those are the three I'll be looking at. Everyone's going to be all over Rahm after the, like they were last year here. They love him here. And then I'm going to be laying off JT. Not that he can't do it. I'm just going to look elsewhere. So I'll be looking at those three, Matsuyama, Spieth, and Fowler. I like Spieth quite a bit this week. Wouldn't be shocked if he puts one in the win column here. Let's go look at the 9K range where we have four guys. You got Leishman, Berger, Noren, and Finau. Jesse, take us away.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for any of these four. I'll be back in Noren again. I do expect him to be popular, but he is playing. He's obviously playing very good golf, and he did prove a lot of. He did take a lot of doubts away from me about him having the ability to potentially win in the United States. Like, he's never really. He's competed over here some, but a lot of the times when he's come over, he's had huge letdowns. I'll go back to Tony Finau again, probably once again one of the most popular guys, but, you know, he's a bomber. He looked good last week on long putts. If he can just make some freaking five-footers, he's going to be all right. I think you can make a case for Berger or Leishman both, but, I mean, I'm not going to pick them all.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I think you can make a case for any of these guys. But I think this course sets up really, really well for Tony Finau. And so he'd be my pick out of all four of these guys. Outside of Finau, my pick would probably be Berger, just because I think he'll be the lowest owned of these four. And he likes this course, so.
Yep, I don't mind that at all. Leishman, I do like at 9,700, playing really good golf. Coming into this, rates well in his approach game, his par 5 scoring. I'm not going to touch Noren after this week. I'll let him go. But Berger, if you want. But I like Finau the most here at $9,100. I really like what he's got going on here. Par 5 scoring in the works. So Finau at 91, I can definitely get behind on this one. So Finau and Leishman would be the two I'd be looking at the most in this 9K range if I had the choice.
We take this brief break in the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast to talk to you about RotoWear, one of the greatest shirts in fantasy sports. They have DFS shirts, fantasy season long, all kinds of great shirts. They're the best quality shirts in the industry. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality, premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts, specialized printing process, design is part of the shirt, literally dyed, bleached into the fabric, no thick ink. It's ridiculous the amount of options you can find, over 30 different designs, fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, DFS. They keep coming out with more and more and more stuff, men's, women's, kids, you name it, they've got it. There's lots of buzz kicking up in the fantasy industry about it. People are wearing these shirts. They're representing the shirts. They are great quality shirts. And you can have one too. You can have more than one, as many as you want. Just use the promo code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, DEGENS, for 20% off your order. Go to rotowear.com or go to @rotowear on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check out what they have. They're giving away free shirts all the time on Twitter. But when you go to purchase, use the code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, for 20% off your order. Now back to the Always Pressing PGA TFS podcast.
Going into the 8Ks, we have a handful of golfers here. And I'm actually going to go with the guy I never go with, but I do like Webb Simpson this week.
Ooh.
Finished second here last year. Six to seven cuts, four top tens at this event. The putting's back. He's playing really, really well when he's been out there. It hurts me to say that for those that have listened to this show, so you definitely know this. So I'll be going Webb at 89. Woodland 86, go back to that well. He was one of the top four putters last week in the tournament, even though his scorecard doesn't show it on Sunday as the wind just destroyed his tournament, destroyed him. But 8,600, I'll go right back to that well with him. You're getting a discount there, in my opinion. The always reliable Matt Kuchar at 8,400. Love him a ton. Six of eight cuts here, T9 here last year. We know what we get from Kuchar. And last but not least, if you want kind of, I think, a lower-owned guy, go Harris English at 8,100 bucks. T8, T11, his last two tournaments he's played. Six of six cuts here, including a third and a ninth in two of the last 4 years. Plays really well, good par five score. The other stuff can be a little dicey with English, but at 8,100 bucks, you can get quite a discount there. Bucks, what about you?
Yeah, I like this range a lot. I always like Webb. I'm likely not playing him this week. Primarily because I do like Gary Woodland a ton. And I love Phil Mickelson this week. So, Phil loves this course, loves this area. I think it kind of suits his game, if you can call it that. Outside of Phil, Matt Kuchar's obviously always a solid play. The other guy that I really like, though, is Ryan Moore. Decent course history here. Pops in a few of the key model or stat categories for me and my model. So I'll probably be going to him at a lower ownership compared to a Kuch, a Woodland, a Simpson, that kind of thing. What about you, man?
Yeah. I mean, you guys hit on just about all of them. A couple that you didn't. I do think JB is playable this week. I think there's a couple angles with him. People will be pissed off, that he made them wait 5 minutes to watch one golf shot, and then he laid up into the rough. So I think that's interesting just to consider people's psyche on that. He also has really good course history here. Obviously, two wins, 24th last year, sixth the year before. I'm not usually a big JB guy because he is so volatile, but I think I think you can take a chance on some GPPs at 8,700. Austin Cook is one of my favorite plays this week. Never played here before, which is kind of scary, but we've said his name plenty of times already on the pods for this year. He has a win in the fall. His worst finish was the tournament champions when he finished 22nd out of 30 whatever golfers. So I think he's got a lot of potential at 8,300 and will probably – Kuchar is going to garner a lot of ownership. We know that. I mean, he's probably going to be top, I would say easily top five owned on the week. So if for whatever reason, you know, you're looking to pivot off Kuchar, I think Cook is a great play. What are your thoughts on on Ben on there. You got anything for him? And our boy Hatchman, 41 bucks.
Yeah, I think he's good, man. I like him. I think the thing that really concerns me about him at a course like this is kind of how he can spray it, and he makes a lot of bogeys. And when you have to shoot 15, 16, 17 under to win, you really have to keep it in play and avoid some of those mistakes. And I just think around him, when you have Ryan Palmer, Steele, Chapel, Zach Johnson below him, and then Kuchar, Woodland, Simpson above him, it's a tough play. But I think he'll be a lower-owned play, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could see that too. One thing I did read, going back to Josh Culp's article, he always has some interesting quotes. And Ben On did say, the course, I think, just suits my eyes, the whole shaping, and there's not much of a dogleg left or right. You basically hit drivers out there and carry all the bumpers. So, I mean, that's interesting to me. I think he's a good GPP play because, like I said, going back to Kuchar, I think he'll garner a lot of ownership. Woodland, obviously, a lot of ownership. Phil will get his share. So getting to these guys down here in the low eights and pairing them maybe potentially with one of the guys up top, I don't think is a bad strategy. We'll let you kick it off here in the sevens. There's, I think, about a billion golfers again.
Yeah, man.
7,000 on, so we'll let you go.
Yeah, so the sevens are obviously a billion golfers, but there's so much value down here. I mean, a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Ryan Palmer, who has been playing way better, number one, but two, he's always hit the ball great.
Yeah.
He has struggled the last year or so heavily with his short game as putting, and that's starting to come around. And so he was always a guy that could go low, but he made a lot of big numbers. And so he's finally starting to see some consistency. So love him, but I'm going to have at least one lineup where I take every golfer at 7,700. Johnson and Kazir, those three guys, one, they are solid in my model, but two, they have been playing really, really well. Zach Johnson. Kazir Lee is in the top five in a bunch of my categories. Chapel's good. So I'll probably have a lineup with all three of those guys. Then you got Patrick Reed, who I'm not saying should be higher, he just typically is, at 7,600. You have J.J. Spahn, who loves this golf course and has been playing really well at 7,500. He's sixth in my model, so I'll probably have a piece of him. He'll be super, super popular, though. Right underneath him is Piercy. Love that play this week. And then a couple others, Reavy and Keegan. Love that at 7,400. The waste management man himself, Charlie Hoffman, I think it's a solid play. And then getting down real low, you got Molinari again, 7,300, had a shitty weekend, but last week, but whatever. And then there's a bunch of guys down the like 7,000 range that I think are good. I mean, you got Michael Kim, you got Nick Watney, you got Brian Stewart, who's been playing well. And then you got guys like Grayson, who's been playing pretty well, and then Bo Hostler, who has been playing really, really well over the last couple weeks. So out of all of those guys, the two guys down here real low that I'm targeting are probably Bo Hostler and Robert Garrigues.
I like it. I can dig it. There is so much value in the top of this 7,000. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty big. The names up here, we can go on and on and on about them. I don't remember if you mentioned Zach Johnson, but at 7,700, 12th, 14th, 10th, the last 3 years here, obviously playing very well. It's not the kind of golf course that I would think would suit Zach Johnson, but he had success here.
So I
think he's legitimate. Now, I think also he will be high-owned, so if you're looking to pivot potentially, Kyle Stanley has been playing pretty well here recently. He made the cut last week. I think he made the cut the week before. Yeah, he was 10th at the Sony. So he's been playing well. He's got two straight made cuts here at the Waste Management. ball striker extraordinaire. If he can just get the putter going, we know how hot he can get. Adam Hadwin is another guy at 75 who I'm interested in besides the guys that you've already mentioned. I love Keegan this week, by the way. I should have been on him more last week, but it's hard to trust Keegan. So hard to trust. Getting down toward the bottom, I love Kevin Tway. I've talked about him quite a bit. He did miss the cut here in his only appearance in 2014. But two straight made cuts on tour. This is the kind of golf course that I see would fit him where he bombs it out. Kokrak, another guy. I do like Hostler as well. You mentioned him. And, man, it's a loaded region. You got guys like Glover, and you already mentioned the several. So kick it over to Bubba.
Yeah, there's a ton in this region that, like you guys said, you know, steel too cheap to me. You know, you guys mentioned Kazire, ZJ at 7,700. That just doesn't sit well with me at all. Yeah. Hoffman's not bad. Spawn, Piercy's had good history here. My guy Chesticles at 7,400 bucks. Like, as much as I love Kuchar as a cut maker, Reedy's pretty. The way he's playing lately, he's that guy. I don't mind Bradley, you mentioned. Hutt is only 7,300 bucks, playing really well. One bad round, basically, from another really good result this past weekend. Molinari, Flores had a great tournament at 7,100 bucks. You mentioned Hosler at 7K. And Grayson Murray at 7K. It's a ridiculous field. I know it's a lot of names, but a lot of guys you can build around there and definitely have some really, really good success. But I guess it's not a ton of name when there's like 70 golfers in that range. So pick and choose as you wish. But let's get to the 6K range where it's locked and loaded yet again. Bucks, kick us off right there.
It is loaded down here, man. I mean, that's why I mentioned it in the 7K range. That's why I'm going to have a pretty balanced lineup, I think, especially in GPPs, because I expect a lot of guys to go stars and scrubs this week. Because you got guys like Lahiri, who can light it up. You have Hunter Mahan down here, who likes this golf course. Streelman, for some reason, is 6,800. Dude's been playing great. He's actually leads my model in greens and regulation and bogey avoidance. He's fourth in tee to green, strokes gained. And then, in my opinion, the most egregious price of anybody this week is Chesson Hadley. It's 6,900 bucks, and he's literally the top five in last 24 rounds in DK points, birdies, greens in regulation, tee to green, strokes gained, and strokes gained approach. And he's 18th in proximity. I mean, the dude's just been playing well. Like, recent form is there for him. So, in my opinion, he's a free space this week. I'm going to be probably 100% on Chesson and find everything elsewhere. So what do you guys got?
But yeah, I don't hate those at all. I love the Hadley call. This is a guy that we talked about when he was in five-digit range that we could not own him. And I know those were a lot, you know, less talented fields, I guess they would say, even though they're all talented to me. But still, 6,900 bucks is stupid. So I got no problem with that at all. Harkins at 68, playing great golf as well. He's not getting any kind of price bump, so I do like him. T12, T8, T25 is last. He's got T25 or better than four of his last five, for crying out loud. So don't mind him at all at 6,800. Streelman at 68, like you said, Bucks, completely agree. Lahiri at 68 is just silly. A lot of good stuff there. Horschel, 68. One name, the last name I'll mention, and it's a guy I'm not a big fan of, but his course history stands out here. Plus, he's made a bunch of cuts in a row, at least five straight cuts with a couple top tens in there. But when it comes to this tournament, he's 6-for-6 on made cuts, three top 25s in there. 1,600 bucks. I'm talking about Dirt McGirt. He's got good form coming in, great course history. The numbers that we were talking about pop really, really well. I'm not a big McGirt guy, obviously, but he, for $6,900, there is a lot to like about that. Because we say it all the time, we're looking for guys to make the cut down here and maybe, you know, make a run at the top 25. He can do that at this course. He's proven it. So something to think about, 6,900 bucks. Jesse, what do you like in this range?
Yeah, it's a lot of names down here, a lot of names that are playable. I think Peter Uihlein's playable this week. He did miss the cut last week, It just seems like his kind of golf course. We can bomb it out there, hit a bunch of greens, make a few putts, make the cut. Stroman, you already mentioned. Harkins, I like. Lahiri, got him checked off. Another guy who you guys haven't mentioned is John Peterson. He's interesting to me because whenever I was traveling down to Florida, I had PGA Tour radio on, and he's on a spot. He's on an exemption, a major medical exemption, so he's got to make X amount of dollars or X amount of FedEx Cup points in four or five events. He actually last year finished 12th here. He's made two straight cuts on tour. He didn't play last week, but he did play the Career Builder. He made the cut, didn't play very good in the final round and kind of fell back. But one way or the other, he's interesting to me at 6,900. He should be next to not even owned. But he's one of those guys that you've got to think about that angle. If he has to make, he really needs to make the cut and try to contend for some dollars and points to keep his PGA Tour card. So a lot of those guys are, you know, you can take Narrative Street there or Angle Avenue or, you know, whatever. Billy Broadway, you want to do there. I don't know. But I think Peterson's is interesting at 69. So
yeah, it's this week, the mid to low sevens and the sixes. The last few weeks, the sixes we haven't been big fans of. There's a lot to like this week.
There's a lot to like at the sixes this week for sure. But I mean, it's both. So ownership should be spread out decently well in that region. So it shouldn't be a huge worry. You can pivot a little bit toward the top.
And we'll go straight into it. We'll start with you, Bucks. What are your punts this week?
I mean, I can't count Hadley or Streelman really as a punt.
But they are, though.
I mean, I guess outside of those guys, the couple that I like, Hunter Mahan, I really like this week. And then Lahiri as well.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, Peterson, Lahiri, I do like that. Again, Uline, I think, is another good one. It's funny because last year I was reading my article from last year that I put up, and I was talking about how the algorithm got drunk. I don't know if you guys probably don't remember this, but anyways, they had Louis Oosthuizen at like 6,900 last year.
Nice.
So if you go back and read my article from last year, it's pretty hilarious to read it again. But the algorithm's drunk. It's just a drunk algorithm permanently now. It's turned to alcoholic algorithm. You got both.
Yeah. There's definitely some head scratchers each week that we have to either treat as a minefield and hopefully pick the right ones, and that's always the fun part about golf in general. My punts will be Harkins, Lahiri, and Streelman. I agree with the other ones you guys said, but those are the three I'll be building around. Just because I think Hadley will be chalky, rightfully so. Like, rightfully so, like when Sink was there. But yeah. If I had to go with Harkins, Lahiri, and Streelman. Bucks, who is your bust this week?
This is really tough, man, because you can make a case for almost everybody here, but while I was looking at it, I think from a, I don't know, trying to find some sort of narrative from a letdown to mental exhaustion, I'm going to go with Alexander Noren. It's my bust of the week.
That's a fair call. I don't mind that at all. What about you, Jesse?
I like it. I'll just stick with my usual bust, Justin Thomas. Anytime he's in the field, he's just my bust.
God damn it, Jesse. That's my bust this week as well. I pick JT. It's tough. Like, from 9 grand and above, we all said it. We could see any one of these guys contending. It'd be Noren or Thomas for me. I agree with both your guys' picks. That's the two I'd look at. Bucks, what will be your core two or three guys this week?
I haven't decided what I'm going to do as far as if I'm only playing one lineup this week. I'm going heavy on one lineup. And so I don't know if I'm going to go pick somebody up top. If I pick somebody up top, I'm going Matsuyama. Mid-range guy would be Kazir. And then free space Hadley. Got to go with him.
Yeah. Jesse, what about you?
I'm feeling Austin Cook quite a bit this week. Pains me, but I'll say Keegan and Speed.
Well, it makes you feel any better. It's going to pain me when I say Webb. Webb and Kuchar for sure. And then right now I'm looking at Steele or ZJ and the 7Ks as my third piece of the puzzle. But that's assuming I don't go, you know, big up top and go sixes. But if I'm going with the three core guys in the mid pack, I'm going Webb, Kuchar, and Steele right now. Bucks, who is your pick to win?
Outside of Matsuyama with the three-peat, I'm going to go Pat and Kazir.
Kazir, from the numbers I had this morning, 60-1. What about you, Jesse?
He's down to 55, by the way.
He's already moving. Nice.
Yeah. The Bucks, hashtag the Bucks effect. I'm going to say Tony Finau.
God damn it.
I like that.
Sniped
him again.
I was gonna say Spieth, but that's 8-1, and I'm really big on Spieth this week. But for my other guy, it was Finau. I had him this morning at 45-1. It's probably gone down as well. But I like Finau a ton. I loved him last week. He was one of my core guys last week, and I really like what he's doing. He scuffled on Sunday, but he kind of rebounded as he finished his 18, and that shows me a lot with this kid, because one thing with Finau, he's not as bad as Rom, but he's got that mental thing we've always kind of watched with him. And he's due, like the way Rom's breaking out, Finau's right there. It's coming, and I think he's gonna have a couple wins this year. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I got Spieth at 9-1, and yet Finau's down to 35 already. So
Jesus, the line's been moving.
In for us.
It's crazy how fast these golf lines move these days. It's a whole new era.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they come down, people are hammering them. Finding that mispriced guy and dropping hammers on him.
I like it. Any final words, gentlemen? I got the Maya Bank and on the Euro Tour. I haven't even looked at it yet this week, but should be good. I was pumped. One thing I'll say is, you know, with Rory doing so well, he announced he's coming to Pebble for the first time in his career. He's joining Spieth. Yeah, he announced that today. So him and Spieth and DJ, and I think Day's coming, and Fowler might even be coming this year. It's going to be freaking awesome. So I'm pumped on that.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Any final words, good gentlemen?
No, I think it's going to be an awesome week, man. I mean, not only is this tournament just a giant party, but they got a legit field too. So they do really, really well at this event. It's one of the best. It's fun to watch. So.
One of the best non-cut majors to watch all year. So if you got the time, sit down Saturday, Sunday, watch some golf. But CBS is doing the coverage, and God, they are the worst.
But they made a point to tell us that they showed us over 200 shots on Sunday.
Oh, my God. Good for them. I saw the ocean more than I've ever seen it in the last 15 years.
Well, just wait for Pebble. You're gonna see waves crossing into the rocks on 18 over and over again.
At least this week on 16, like, you can actually have fun watching golf, because it's fun to watch those guys, and it's fine to replay that stuff. But anyway,
all right, gentlemen, that'll wrap it up. Another week in the books. Check us out again on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker. Rate, review, spread the word. You got Bucks on Twitter at BPSnow11, Jesse at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BD Entrick. This is your Waste Management Open DFS preview. We'll catch you guys next week.
Later.